This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today we're speaking with Dr. Spencer Richland, a board-certified reproductive endocrinologist with extensive reproductive surgical experience. He has been practicing at Alum Fertility since 2004, where he is a partner and surgical director. And Dr. Richland, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Eric, I want to thank you so much for having me on the eHealth Radio Network. Thank you.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome. Looking forward to hearing from you per your expertise, and thanks for what you do in this space. So tell us, when do patients come see a reproductive endocrinologist on their family building journey? Let's start there.
So, you know, when I think about this, Eric, I think of six options, six scenarios. One is when our patients are trying for pregnancy and they're not becoming pregnant, they'll want to see us. Often it has to do with age. So our patients under 35 who are trying, who aren't successful, will come see us, you know, after 12 months of trying, or if they're over 35, maybe after 6 months of trying. Other scenarios are we have our single moms to be, and so they're going to need a sperm source. We have our patients who are freezing eggs, so they're not ready to become pregnant now, but they want to freeze their eggs for later and get those eggs put away. And we have our men couples who are going to need an egg donor and a gestational carrier. We have our transitioning patients who can freeze egg or sperm for later. And then, you know what? We have patients who just want information on the reproductive system, like, am I fertile? So we see everybody in those categories and anybody who wants information.
So tell us, what are the ways that you actually help your patients' family build? Get into some of those specifics there.
So what we do with our family building is the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get kind of some information on the reproductive systems. And what's cool about this is we can usually do it in one menstrual cycle. So what our patients are doing is they're saying, okay, I want information on my reproductive system. They'll call us day one of their period. And on day one of their period, we're going to bring them in on day three of their cycle. And then we kind of get information like we do an ultrasound on day three of their cycle, transvaginally, look at their ovaries, look at their uterus. We do blood work, something called day three blood work, which was ovarian reserve testing. It's blood work or hormones that tell us about egg health. And then we jump into the uterus on day 7, 8, or 9, and we do something called a saline water test. And that's a test where we put in water in the uterine cavity with a little catheter, and we can see that the uterine cavity where people implant a pregnancy is clean. There's no polyps, there's no fibroids, kind of real cool 3D stuff. And then the last thing we'll do is do what's called an HSG, which is a little crampy. It's when we put special dye into the uterine cavity to make sure the fallopian tubes are open. So that's a beginning point, getting information. And then a lot of our couples, Eric, they want to do a sperm count or a semen analysis. And in that situation, we have our partners have no intercourse for a couple days. They'll come into the office or at home, and we'll do a semen analysis and check count, volume, shape, the motility of the sperm. We'll make sure they have a good sperm sample. There are cases when men's counts are low, we can always have them see a reproductive urologist.
Excellent, excellent explanation, and thanks for those details, most helpful. So also, what is in vitro fertilization or IVF, and when do couples move to IVF?
So what happens is our couples will do kind of what you and I just talked about. They're going to get information. And then there's a couple steps before IVF. One is often, you know, our patients just need a sperm source and they need to find donor sperm, like in our single moms to be. That's simple. We can help them with that. Other times, Eric, our patients just need help timing things. They're not great with their menstrual cycles. So, you know, the menstrual cycle in general is 28 days. So we teach them like day one is full flow, have intercourse day 12, 14, and 16, try for 6 months. Our other couples will kind of move them into something a little bit more aggressive, something called superovulation, where we take oral medications to make not one egg release, but two, higher chance of getting an egg in the tube, and then at the right time putting sperm with an artificial insemination really close into the uterine cavity. And we'll try that 1 to 4 months. So that's a scenario where we've released two eggs, not one, higher chance of getting an egg in the tube and putting sperm real close, helping them time things. And then lastly, Eric, we have patients who are really irregular. And if they're really irregular, they have difficulty timing intercourse. They don't know when they're going to ovulate. So those couples, like patients with PCOS, they're going to use medicines, oral also, to make them ovulate at the right time. And we can help them know that so they can time intercourse and make sure they're not wasting their time and they're having intercourse at the right time. So with IVF, if our patients are not getting pregnant on the above situations, we've done an evaluation, there is nothing wrong or nothing to fix, and they've been trying, not getting pregnant, and they've done supraovulation or they've done ovulation induction, those kind of modalities, and usually those work, but if they don't work, boom, we do IVF. And you know, IVF is incredible. What's interesting about IVF is that IVF bypasses egg pickup and basically puts the embryo, believe it or not, right into the uterine cavity. So let me kind of walk through an IVF cycle. So with IVF, our patients are taking medications for 10 days. That's called the stimulation phase. And during that phase, they're taking little shots of medication sub-Q for 9, 10 days, and the little follicles on the ovaries grow over 9 to 12 days. And we see our patients like 4 to 5 times during that time frame. And once the follicles are the right size, 36 hours, we do an egg retrieval, transvaginal guided, little probe needle behind, and we go into the little follicles when our patients are sleepy. No, it doesn't hurt. Then once we get out the eggs, on that day, we put egg and sperm together in the laboratory on the day of egg retrieval. And then over the next 5 days, egg and sperm are commingling. We want to see the eggs fertilize. We want to see embryos form. And what will happen is on day 5 of embryo life, we will put one embryo right into the uterus, through the vagina, through the cervix, and put that embryo right into the uterine cavity in doing what's called an embryo transfer. And that takes minutes. It does not hurt either. And then we freeze extra embryos. So we've put in one healthy embryo at a time. So we get a singleton pregnancy, freeze the other embryos, check a pregnancy test in 9 days. And with IVF, pregnancy rates are so high because we're basically putting an embryo right in the middle of the cavity. It's kind of cool.
Certainly do appreciate the thorough response and coverage on that. That is most appreciated. I'm sure the listeners also are appreciative as well today. We are with Dr. Spencer Richland, a board-certified reproductive endocrinologist with extensive reproductive surgical experience here on eHealth Radio's Infertility and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, taking this further on the IVF cycle, break down the steps of a typical IVF cycle, if you would. I'm sure that would be helpful as well.
So the steps are, number one, like we had discussed, stimulation 10 days of the medications to make those small ovarian follicles grow. And that's usually 9 to 12 days. During that time, we see our patients 4 to 5 times, do an ultrasound and watch those follicles grow from 5 millimeters to 20 millimeters. The second step, the egg retrieval, IV sedation, 10, 15 minutes through the vaginal approach with an ultrasound guidance, we take out those eggs. And then I want you to think the next step is putting egg and sperm together in the laboratory. And then the next step is growing those embryos for 5 days and putting in one embryo back into the uterine cavity with an embryo transfer, freezing the other embryos for baby number 2, and checking a pregnancy test in 9 days. It's simple and easy, and the pregnancy rates are so, so good.
Yeah, that certainly is some good news on that front. So tell us, what are a couple of common myths or misconceptions about IVF?
So, you know, when I think about that, I think, you know, not all patients are going to need to do IVF. Most of our patients become pregnant with the other options we talked about, supraovulation, better timing, ovulation induction. The other misconception is that twins, we have twins real rare. You know why? We're putting back one embryo at a time. So that's really safe, one baby at a time. A lot of our patients are saying, well, when I stimulate my ovaries to make all those follicles grow to get out the eggs, the injections are going to hurt. You know, it's a thin needle. We'll teach you how to do them. And the egg retrieval does not hurt at all. The other misconception is, or something I want to kind of bring up is something called pre-implantation genetic testing, where our patients out there are hearing, before we put back an embryo in, we can biopsy all their embryos and find out which embryos are healthy in 46 chromosomes and then put in a healthy embryo. So we try to fight off those misconceptions, support our patients, and have them have a good journey while they're with us, because it's so doable and we have great outcomes for all of our patients.
Well, Dr. Richland, we certainly appreciate that positive report, all the insight and information shared here today and the thorough coverage here. Really appreciate it. Before you go, in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, or anything else you'd like to mention as we do conclude today?
So I've been thinking about this, Eric, and I think our patients need support while they're doing all of this, because when our patients are getting pregnant, they're stressed, they really want this bad, and we want to support them and help them family build and family build for everybody. So here's what I would tell our patients out there. At the practice you're with, check out if they have other support systems for you, like we do. We have what's called an integrated fertility wellness team. There may be nutritionists, acupuncturists, genetic counselors, reproductive social workers, exercise, yoga. You know, do something while you're on your journey to try to get pregnant, to kind of take off the edge and potentially give you a better chance of being successful, because you'll be feeling healthier. So that's what I would tell our patients.
Well, those are some great tips and advice right there. Thank you so much, Dr. Richland. If listeners wanted to connect with you or to get more information, where's the best place online to do so?
So check out our website, illumefertility.com. We have amazing staff, great doctors. We're here in Connecticut. And also my podcast is Fertility Now. My Instagram is fertility.fertility.now. We'd love to hear from you guys.
And another great resource to tap into as well. Again, folks, it is illumefertility.com. Dr. Richland, all the best. And thanks for joining us here today on the Health Radio.
Eric, thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
And you're certainly more than welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Spencer Richland, a board-certified reproductive endocrinologist with extensive reproductive surgical experience. And once again, for all the details, visit illumefertility.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels. And we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.